I'll be here next Sunday to preach, but then on that, a week from this Monday, I'll be leaving with the family to go on a vacation. I'll be gone for a week, so I'll be gone that, I guess it's the first Sunday of October. I'll be gone. Brother Phil will be here with you. And then on October 8th, Brother Bo's going to come and preach for us. And so I just wanted to make those announcements. Excuse me. I'll remind you next Sunday. And, so let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this morning, and we're asking God for you to, Father, to come and anoint us, Father, to bring forth your word, dear God, to be instruction and help and strengthening and growing to the people, Lord. We ask, God, for you to have your way on each part of the service now, Father. And Lord, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verses 1 through 7. And we're still ministering on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You may be seated. Faith and hope are two different things. A lot of people approach believing actually by hoping. It's something they want, and they kind of hope it's going to work out. They kind of hope it's going to happen. It's Brother Branham says it isn't I believe it, I think it. A lot of people approach it. They approach it in a mental way. And you know, you can hear the word and see what the word says about something and approach that from a mental way. And Brother Branham called that intellectual faith. It's a faith of the mind. And that can be shaken because that's not where faith anchors. And you realize the more that we have preached about that Satan actually chose the mind as his battlefield, that's where he brings the thoughts to combat you, and that you can realize your faith can't rest there in your mind, because that's the very area that Satan attacks. And you know, he's got an inroad there into your mind, and there's no way for you to prevent Satan from injecting thoughts in your mind. The thing you can do to deal with that is don't sit there and entertain it. You know, a lot of people, Satan injects a thought and then they get to thinking about it. And many times you find that many minutes have passed since the thought was injected, and you find after many minutes later or even an hour or so later, you're still thinking about it. And so that's his battleground that he chose. And so you can't approach like healing or deliverance or anything else that you want from God. You can't approach it by just having positive thinking about it. You can't approach it by just saying, well, the word says this, so, you know, okay, I'll take it. Look, Israel, when they left out of Egypt, what they had was intellectual faith. They had been taught that God had spoke to their father Abraham and told them they were going to be in bondage and told him he was going to bring them out. So in their mind, they accepted that. They accepted that that God had told Abraham that. And when all of the plagues happened in Israel to bring about their release, and they witnessed this, then in their minds they accepted, yes, God's bringing us out. And so therefore, that's why they went ahead and followed Moses and left. They had a choice. You know, they could have stayed. But they chose mentally to follow Moses out and accepted mentally that they were being delivered. But the first opposition that came about was when God led them down to the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh was at their back and the Red Sea was in front of them, and they were looking like they had been led into a trap. And then you find that their minds got to doubting, and they got to thinking that maybe we should have stayed back there because we're in a trap here. We're going to die. And they looked with their eyes, and they saw what they saw. They perceived Pharaoh's army there. They perceived and saw the Red Sea in front of them, and they reasoned it out in their mind. And so it shook their intellectual faith, and they then doubted that they should have even followed Moses. And you know, they weren't thinking about, well, God had spoke to our father Abraham anymore. They weren't thinking about all that they had been taught through the years centuries, actually, of the different generations. All of that was gone from their mind, pushed out by doubt, because their faith all lay in their minds. And so when the obstacles gave the perception that they weren't going to be delivered, then their mind accepted that. And then they begin to question God. And we find that at every step, Israel questioned God. They always had an intellectual faith. They never believed in their heart. It wasn't a faith that was anchored in their heart. Something that they just know. You see, the difference with Joshua and Caleb, remember when the 12 spies went out to spy out the land, and they came back, and 10 of them were saying that it was a good land and that it flowed with milk and honey. They had the evidence that they could see, they could touch, they could taste, they could feel, they could smell the evidence that the land was good. But they said, we're not able, because their eyes and their mind looked at the obstacles of all of the enemy that was in the land. And they made a point to express about there's giants in the land. And so you realize that then their mental faith had been shaken. And a lot of people approach healing and deliverance and everything through a mental faith. Faith is not telling yourself something over and over and over again, trying to convince your mind. But faith, we brought out the examples last Sunday about the five senses of the body: see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And we brought out some examples about that and how that we depended on those five senses to tell us things that are. But yet faith goes beyond that and is actually more real than what you see. You see, if Moses, we find out what Moses had real faith of the heart. He saw the same things that the children of Israel were seeing. He saw Pharaoh's army, he saw the Red Sea, he saw the circumstances, and with his eyes, he couldn't see a way out. But with his heart, he knew that God was going to bring them out. God was going to do something. You know, it doesn't matter what or how. He accepted it. Because it was in his heart, he could accept it irregardless of how the circumstances looked. I brought out an example last Sunday about, you know, my grandchildren looking forward to this vacation that we're going to be going on. And, you know, I said, you know, they don't know all the particulars, or they don't even know how to get there. But we've told them they're going, and they take us at our word, and they know it's going to happen. Now, you could go and talk to them and tell them, well, you know, a storm could come down there, a hurricane or something on the ocean, and it could ruin the whole thing, you know. And that they don't think about that. They know what we told them, we're taking them, and so to them, we're going. You could talk to them about gas prices going up. You could talk to them about all these different things. That holds no meaning to them. They don't even think about it. And see, that's the thing. But if it's a mental faith, then you think about all those things. If it's a mental faith, then you're saying, I believe God's healed me. But then you think about how you're feeling. You think about, well, I still feel the sickness. I still feel sick. I'm still attacked by in my mind or something. And then you take into account all those things, and as you begin to then take into account, what happens is you reason upon them. And when you reason upon them, then it shakes that mental faith. And then, you know, listen, healing only lasts as long as your faith lasts. The minute you begin to doubt that you're healed, then the sickness will come back. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, the difference in what this scripture is saying than what I've been talking about a mental faith, is the fact that it's saying with the heart. And Brother Branham was mentioned about this, and he says, you know, there's such a thing as intellectual faith. He says, but I heard something on the radio the other day that really filled my heart. A man was preaching, and he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. He says, and I got to thinking, science says you think with your mind. And he says that science does not believe a person can think in their heart, but God said, as he thinks in his heart. And he says, but then science found out there's a little place inside the human heart that is a teeny little place that doesn't have any blood cells or anything around it. And that it's like a chamber there that doesn't seem to be used for anything, and animals don't have it. And they've been to believe that's where the soul resides. And he says, So God was right, as a man thinketh in his heart, said, you think with your soul. He says, now, you can have an intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind. Now, a person can hear the word, they can come up for prayer for deliverance, and they can say, I know that the word says that he delivers me, and so therefore they receive it in their mind, and then they receive in their mind, but then when they go out and Satan then attacks them over the deliverance, then doubt arises. And the next thing you know, they're doing the thing they had thought they were delivered from. But it's because it was just something that was residing in their mind. but it has to drop down into the heart. You see, the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And we brought out last Sunday and said how that there was nothing that that Abel and Cain could look at for an example of what they should do to offer a sacrifice to God. So Cain, from his mind, came up with this idea. Well, I've done all this with my hands. I worked the soil. I planted the seed. I've grown these things. And I'll bring this as an offering to the Lord. But Abel, not having anything, there was no Bible. There was nothing laid out that Abel could read or see to tell him what to do for a sacrifice. So it says by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. So it wasn't what he could see or perceive, but what happened was it dropped in his heart. And then from his heart he came, and you realize what he did was he caught the mind of God, because that God had said to Eve after the fall, he says, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the serpent. And thy seed, the seed of the serpent shall bruise his heel, but he'll bruise the head of the serpent. And that was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the Christ that would come to give his life, shed his blood, to provide redemption to all man. So you see, Abel got a revelation of redemption. And it was because of that that Abel was brought the sacrifice that he did. So he says, St. John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That doesn't come from intellectual faith. That comes from born again experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, he's born again. And from there comes forth the thought, his soul, not from his mind, but from his soul, something that tells him that's right. And anything contrary, that it's wrong. You know it anyhow. Oh, not what the doctor says or what someone else says, but you know it every time in your soul. If you're just believing from healing from your mind, then when the sickness seems to get worse, doubt's going to arise. Now, if it's just in your mind, Satan is going to come and attack your mind and tell you, point out to you, you're still not, you've got no signs of being well. You've got all the symptoms of your sickness still hanging on to you. You've got all these things still hanging on to you. You're not healed. If you were healed, wouldn't you feel better? And then if your faith is just intellectual faith, then what happens is it gets shaken, because it begins to, like this, Peter actually stepped forward out of the boat. Remember when Jesus came and walked on the water, and Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come walk to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter steps out of the boat and starts to walk on the water. But then he gets to looking around at the waves, and he gets to looking around at the wind, and he gets to looking around at, how in the world is it possible for anybody to walk on water? That's not scientifically possible. And so his mental faith was shaken, and what happened? He began to sink. And Jesus rebuked him and said, oh, ye of little faith. Remember that? So you can take a step on intellectual faith. And, you know, a person comes up to be prayed for, and they know that the Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. They know that the Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so they come up there with, up here with that in their mind, and they get prayed for, and the Spirit is moving, and there is an anointing here, and then they get to feeling reassured. They get to feeling assured. Yeah, I believe I'm healed. But then when they leave out of here and they go out and the symptoms are still there, then what they had in their mind, that good feeling, it goes away. But see, Satan is going to come and attack your mind with doubt. When you testify that you've been healed, Satan is going to come and attack your mind that you haven't been healed. He is going to come and attack your body. But if you believe it in your heart, then you're not looking at the circumstances. You're not looking at how you feel. You're not looking at that the symptoms are still there. A person that's prayed for cancer or a growth, then, but if they believe in their heart, then they're not looking at, well, the growth's still there. It's Brother Branham explains this about healing and cancer. And he says, you know, cancer is actually, when there's a person has a tumor, it's actually cells of the body that have backslid. And then an evil spirit comes and moves into those cells and causes those cells to multiply and grow. That's a tumor. That's a growth. And then, Brother Branham says, then when a person is prayed for cancer, then what happens is that evil spirit that's in them cells is cast out. And then once that life is gone out of that tumor, then, see, that tumor just becomes dead cells in the human body, which causes a reaction of making the person feel sicker. Because the body's got to get rid of those dead cells. And then when a person gets to feeling sicker, then they go, well, I didn't get healed after all. And when they take that thought, then what happens is that evil spirit can come back. And Brother Branham says, make it seven times worse on the individual. That's why he said that when a person is prayed for from cancer having a tumor and they get sicker, he said that's the best sign in the world you've been healed. Why? Because that spirit is gone. That life, that evil spirit is gone. Brother Branham says, when faith sets in your heart, you know, and you know you believe it, you know you've got it before you even get it. So if faith, friends, look, faith is more real than your symptoms. As I said last Sunday, Satan can come and deceive your senses. He can come and attack your body and make it feel worse than it did before you testified. And if it's just a mental faith, then that's going to be shaken, because your mind looks at circumstances. That's just normally how a human being works. You use your mind to navigate this world. You use your mind to, when you're driving down the road, you know, you use your mind. Your eyes tells you what you're seeing. It goes to your mind. Your mind tells your hands and your feet what to do to go around a curve or swerve or whatever. And you do it, and you're dependent on these senses in your mind to help you to drive down the road. But faith. soul doesn't look at the census of the body or what the mind perceives. It's something that God puts in your heart. And once that has anchored in your heart, then all the devils of torment can't get it out of you. The devils can come and torment you and make things look like they're even worse than what they were before. But the thing is, if you believe in your heart, if you have faith, then you don't look at those things. You accept that you're healed, regardless of what you're feeling or regardless of what that is going on. It doesn't matter what anybody says to you. You could go to the doctor and the doctor say, yep, you're sick. You got this, you got that. But if you believe that you've been healed in your heart, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. If you believe, you know, it's not with your knowledge. You know, it's like we speaking about deliverance from things like alcohol and drugs and all this, you know, and the world's got programs out there, and they've got steps that people go through, and what it's trying to do is rehabilitate their mind. It's working on their mind, their thinking, but then after a time has passed, if it's all just a working on their mind, then that's not going to hold them. Because you realize it's the devil that's attacking. And you can't rehabilitate a devil. You can't get rid of a devil by going through 12 steps. None of that means anything to the devil. Positive thinking doesn't mean anything to the devil. That's actually when a person approaches things through their mind like that, all they're doing is they're bluffing. It's not real. And that's not going to move the devil. He can't be bluffed. He is a bluffer. When you've been prayed for and then you get sicker, that's the devil bluffing. That's the devil trying to convince you you're not healed. When a person gets delivered of something, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden this body isn't going to crave those things. That craving can go away. But it goes away because of a work that happens in the soul. If a person is approaching those things, like I mentioned, through mental thinking, then the thing is, they're always going to want that. But see, when a person's been delivered, say like from drinking, if a person's been delivered, now, in their mind, they can still remember what the drink tastes like. They can still remember the effects that it had on them. And Satan tells them that's pleasure, that they enjoy that. And many times what they're running from anyway, they're running from something mental anyway. They're trying to find an escape. And the thing about it is, when they look to those things for an escape, it doesn't take them anywhere. All it does is cloud up the mind for a bit. And then when the mind gets, you know, the cobwebs gone back out of it, the alcohol gone or whatever, everything they were trying to run from is still there. But when God does a work in the soul, it doesn't matter what's there. There is a faith in the heart that knows God's going to bring you through. And there is there is joy in salvation. You know, there are people who you try to talk to them about serving God, and maybe, you know, they think about all of the things they do in the world, their entertainments and everything else and their pleasures of the world and that, and they're like, hey, give all that up to go to church? Why? What in the world could be enjoyable about going to church and sitting down on a pew and hearing a man speak to you for an hour? But see, when a work has happened in the soul, then what happens is the soul feeds on the word that's being preached. It draws strength from it. And the word increases your faith. Realize this, friends. As I spoke on Israel, you see, every obstacle that Israel came up against when they left out of Egypt, instead of them looking at the track record that God had brought them out of each and everything, instead of them looking at that, they got their eyes fixed on what was happening right now. A lot of people live that way. They live in the now. You know, the world wants to make people think you should live in the now. But the thing is, you know, it's like a young man or young woman when maybe they get their first job. All they're thinking about is the paycheck they're going to get on Friday or whenever. They're not thinking about, I'm going to get older. And after years of getting older, there's going to come a time that I'm going to want to retire. And so I need to make preparations now while I'm young so that I can retire when I get older. They don't think about that. Because they live in the what's happening right now. They can make no plans for the future. Brother Branham says, a lot of people who come up in the prayer line and they say, oh, I believe. Brother Branham, I've got faith. I believe. He says, but actually what they've got is hope instead of faith. Because they're coming approaching it with a mental approach. Brother Branham actually called it a haphazard way of approaching faith. And said that it's more like they're guessing at it. You know, it's like somebody saying, well, I'm going to give it my best shot and see how it turns out. That's hope. That's not faith. John 3 and 1 in the second verse says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's God's word. So, you know, people say, well, if it's God's will, that's God's word that tells you it's his will for you to be well. As you believe God for salvation, you can believe God for a healing and deliverance or any other need that you have. Brother Branham says, he quotes this, above all things, I would that you prosper in health. He says, I'm sure it's God's will that all of you would be well. If you have faith, faith is just so sure, it's positive, it's never moves, it's just got to be. But hope, he says, many people possess hope instead of faith. And just hoping things work out. And then when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, then they lose that mental faith that they had. Because it was just positive thinking. Brother Branham says 99% of the people comes in the prayer line has hope instead of faith. They say, oh, I got faith, Brother Branham. Well, what are you doing here then? He said, your works prove it. Faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect. You say, well, I believe there is. I'm hoping for that thing. No, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, substance is something that is real. When I would speak about something being of a substance, many times we think of, in the scientific term, of matter. In other words, I know this desk is here and because it's got some substance to it. But see, the substance that faith anchors in is not something that you can see. It's something that cannot be seen. It says we know the worlds were framed by things which that we see. They weren't framed by things that which do appear. In other words, look, when God said, let there be light, there was nothing there. But his word created light. When God spoke the world into existence, there was nothing there. But his word created the world. Remember when Peter and the disciples had been fishing, and they came in and they didn't catch anything. They were fishing all night. They came in empty nets. They didn't catch nothing. Jesus stepped into the boat and says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the drought of fish. Now, everything told Peter they weren't going to catch any fish. He said it. He said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. There's no fish there. They've moved on. There's just none in the location out there. But see, he said, nevertheless, at thy words, what Peter said. And so they launched on out and let down their nets because Jesus had told them to. And they believed. Now, when you believe like that, it doesn't matter that there was no actual fish there. That's accepting that you're with the Creator. If there's no fish in existence, he can create them. Remember when he fed the multitude of 5,000? And they were all there, all these people had heard Jesus preaching and they were hungry. And, you know, And they said, well, we got to feed them. And they told Jesus, the only thing we got here is a little boy's lunch. And we've got these just a few loaves and fishes. And how in the world are we going to feed this multitude with just this little bit we've got? Jesus tells them, just start passing it out. And he begins to break the bread, and they begin to pass out the fish, and friends, they fed the entire multitude out of a little boy's lunch. What happened? Jesus created the fish. Jesus created the bread. Now, think about this. It wasn't raw fish. He created cooked fish. It wasn't just dough. It was baked bread. He created it. He took something little and made it feed a multitude. What? By creating it. Think about when Jesus' first miracle, when he went to the wedding supper. And they ran out of wine. And they told Mary and his mother, and she said, you just do whatever he tells you. And so Jesus told him, he says, fill the vessels with water. Now, we know that you can use water to make wine, but you've got to have a lot of other ingredients there to go along with it. You've got to have grapes, and you've got to have yeast, and you've got to have these different things to make it ferment, and turning it from juice into wine takes some time for it to ferment. Jesus said, just put water in there. Just put some liquid in there. And then he turned it into wine. What happened? He created it. It didn't have any time to sit there and go through a process of fermenting. It was instant. And it wasn't just any old kind of wine. Because what the man said was, there at the wedding supper, he says, usually you give your best at the start, and then after everybody's got intoxicated a little bit, then you bring out the stuff that ain't quite so good, because people won't know the difference. But he said, you've saved the best till last. What Jesus created was better than what science had made. If you've got hope instead of faith, but see, faith is positive. And when faith is anchored, nothing can move it. It doesn't matter how sick you got or how things are going. Faith is anchored. You know. You say, well, nothing's happened yet. You know it's going to happen. It's like a man or woman getting delivered from smoking. You know, they come up to be prayed for, and then they themselves physically say, all right, that's it. Throw away the cigarettes or whatever it is, and I'm not going to buy any more. I'm not going to save any back just in case. I'm going to believe God's delivered me. And they walk out, and at the first smell of somebody else lighting up, they want one. And then Satan says, see there, you want one. That's just the chemicals of the body that's got dependent upon that nicotine. And so it smells that and associates mentally that with that nicotine fix. And they'll say, well, I get nervous. And so that's why I smoke. And, smoking will calm my nerves. God can remove that. God can heal you from that nervousness. Look, when a person believes, then what happens is there's going to come a time to where somebody will light up, they'll smell it, and they won't have any craving for it. Because God brought their body up to accept what their faith already said. Brother Bram says here in the message of expectation, he says, now remember, when you leave the building, you saw that people being prayed for healing there. Go testifying that you're healed. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If people come here is not exactly in faith, but which is faith in one way, and he's talking about their mental faith. But when you go forth testifying that you believe it and you're healed, you will get well. Just as you testified that you were saved, it works righteousness. Testify you're healed, it works healing, and God will grant it. Now, it's not just you saying it mentally, but actually testifying, God's done this, God has healed me. You know, the Bible, we read this a time or two before, but where it says that he's a high priest of our profession. In other words, he's the high priest of what we say. What we testify, he's the high priest of that. The Bible says, and turn with me to Hebrews 4. I just want you to turn with me and read it with me. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Infirmities is sickness and disease. Now, in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus, when he came into Peter's house, and when he got there, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And Jesus touched her hand. And when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then what did she do? She got up, the Bible said, and waited on them. She got up and served them. And then it says, then they were brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took on our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. There was a time, John the Baptist, after Jesus was baptized and the Spirit had come down upon him in a dove, form of a dove. And then, John proclaiming, this is he. And then Brother Branham talks about, says, you know, John got, it kind of, his eyes kind of got a little crusted over. And he says, like an eagle. And he says, then John, the Bible says, sent two of his disciples over to Jesus and said, are you the one? Or do we hope for another? And in the same hour that they said that, the Bible says many were cured of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus said unto the two disciples of John, go tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleanse, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor and to the poor the gospel is preached. So Jesus was not appealing to John's senses. But what he was pointing out to them was, look, here is an evidence the word is coming to pass. And it says they were cured of their infirmities. Now, something that came to me when I was studying on this, the Bible speaks about Mary Magdalene. And you know that Mary Magdalene, the Bible tells us, she was possessed by seven devils. Now, and that she was delivered. The Bible tells us she was healed of evil spirits and infirmities. What was it that Mary was wrong with Mary Magdalene? She had mental illness. That was her infirmity. Jesus healed her of it. And when he healed her of it, the devils that were tormenting her mind had to leave. Remember the man that was in the tombs. And the Bible says that he cut himself. And that they tried to, the men from the city tried to bind him and things, and no chains or nothing could hold him. It seemed like he had inhuman strength and all these things. And then when Jesus came into to the coast, the man came down to Jesus. And when he got down to Jesus, the devils began to speak forth from the man and said, "Why have you come to torment us before our time?" And so Jesus cast them out, and they asked Jesus, "Can we go down and get into the swine?" And Jesus said, "Go ahead." Now, what was that man suffering from? Mental illness. You know, many times I've said to you, a lot of people accept heart disease and accept diabetes and they accept these things as being real diseases. But when it comes to the mind, a lot of people, they don't think that that's real. They think you can just think your way out of that. But you can't think your way out of a devil. Brother Branham said, a person can be filled with the Holy Ghost in their soul, but the devil can attack their body with sickness. The devil can't. Brother Branham said, a man can have the Holy Ghost and devils come and torment that man and drive him insane, but that's got nothing to do with his soul. What is it? It's a devil that has come to attack the mind. But just as much as God can heal from any other type of physical sickness, God can heal from mental sickness. That's his word. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's his word. Look, I'm not trying to convince your mind of the word. I'm telling you his word so that you can take a hold of it with your heart. The Bible says, seeing that we are encompassed with such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience. What is it talking about, such a cloud of witnesses? Friends, look, we've got witnesses from the Old Testament through the New Testament of God coming down and doing things for his people. That's a great cloud of witnesses. But not only that, friends, you right here in this church in Dixon, you've got a cloud of witnesses among yourselves of the things that God has done in your lives and the lives of your brothers and sisters here in the church with you. That you can see a change that has happened in the individuals. And the change that happened in them wasn't just them changing the way they thought. But God actually came and did something in the lives. Brother Jim many times gives a testimony about how that God spoke to him when I preached a message one time and brought out an example about the Hatfields and McCoys. And I was preaching on bitterness back then. And I brought out how that the Bible says that there had been long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. And it was because there was a bitterness between their houses. And then I brought out the example about the Hatfields and McCoys. They feuded for so long that over time, it's actually been lost really what it all started over. Now there's speculation that people speculate two or three different things on what the actual feud between those two families was really over. When the feud
feud started, everybody knew what it was about. But over the years, and that's what happens many times with people, you know, they start and they hold a grudge over something, and then the families against families, and then over time, you know, they forget what even the thing really was. And it gets passed down from generation to generation. And that's what I was preaching on. And Brother Jim gives a testimony. He got delivered from that thing. And it changed him. And it changed the way that he treated other people. Now, that wasn't him just taking something in his mind and having a thought, well, you know what, I've done it this way, I'm going to try a different way. Something changed in his heart. He wasn't putting on an act. Something happened. That was real. That's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Satan will attack us and say, well, you know, if God loved you, why is this happening to you? Why does he let you get sick? Why did he let this cancer come on you? Why did he let this other sickness come on you? If he really loved you. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What time is it? All right, I'm gonna close after this because I held you really long last Sunday and didn't realize it. I wasn't watching the time at all. And so I'm going to close after this. But turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read from verse 7. Now, Paul says here, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. What that was you remember, Paul's eyes were affected when Jesus appeared to him in the great light on the road. And so he was blind, scales over his eyes. He was prayed for, the scales were removed. But Paul had trouble with his sight from then on. Now listen, he said, for this thing, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure, that means I'm willing, in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul's saying, I'll give glory that infirmities have come upon me, that the power of God might rest upon me. Friends, look, the sicknesses that you experience, the different things, the problems and sicknesses and things and difficulties in life that you experience is not God's not caring for you. That's God giving opportunity for him to come do something in your life. That's giving God opportunity to come. It's like this. We've said he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God that healeth all of our diseases. The thing is, God wants to prove that to you. And the way he can prove it to you is by letting you get sick. And what happens is, see, he allows the devil to come and attack your body. God doesn't make you sick. The devil does. But God allows the devil to attack your body. Just like he allowed the devil to attack Job to prove that Job wouldn't curse him. That Job's faith in God was going to stand in the midst of everything that happened to him. God allows these things, and Brother Branham says, to come on you many times so that he can take you into his arms like a shepherd would his lamb and show you that he loves you by healing you of the sickness or thing that has come upon you. Many times we get ourselves into situations. Now, I know that a person can, for instance, lose a job that has nothing to do with maybe something they did. And because of that, it'll bring a financial hardship upon them. But there are times that people's financial hardships are brought on by themselves, by bad decisions, bad choices. But God can come and change even that. God still cares. He knows you're human. He knows you're going to make some bad decisions sometimes. You're human. Our decisions, many times we make in life, we make them based on our human intellect, our reasoning. Sometimes not even our reasoning, because reasoning would tell us not to do something. But sometimes people make decisions based on their emotions, how it makes them feel. And when you do things based on your emotions, you get yourself into trouble. But God allows these things, you to face these things, so that he can come, his power upon you, and bring you through it. If you never had any problems, you would think that it was because you were doing the right things. You would think it's because you were making all the right decisions. People think, well, you know what? I'll go to work, and because I go to work and because I make money, then I've got the finances to take care of my day-to-day life. And then sickness hits you. And you got to go to the doctor. And then the doctor tells you you got to have surgery. And your health insurance tells you you got to come up with a deductible. And that deductible was not in your budget. So now all of a sudden, it doesn't matter that you went to work. It doesn't matter that you brought home a paycheck. You've now got an expense that came along that wasn't in your budget. And if you take a look and you say, well, look, this is my job. This is how much I make a week. This is how much goes out. I cannot see how in the world I'm going to be able to make this payment on this health insurance deductible to get this surgery done. And then people will say, well, I'll go get prayed for so I won't have to have the surgery. But their faith is mental, because they've looked at it and reasoned that I don't have the money to pay for this surgery. So therefore, I'm hoping God's going to heal me so I won't have to worry about that. That's mental faith. You're not going to get healed on that. That's you being controlled by fear, actually. Because we're all afraid of the unknown. We're humans. And if you can't figure out where that money's going to come from, it's going to worry you. It's going to bother you. See, faith tells you that he takes care of the birds of the air. They neither plant, you know, they don't plant, and God feeds them. That's his word. That's what his word says. And it says, whatsoever you have need of, when you ask, he's going to give it to you. And see, many times what we want to base it on is if we could figure out how he would give it to us. But faith doesn't try to figure it out. Mental faith tries to figure it out. But faith of the heart doesn't try to figure out how God's going to do it. It just accepts, I'm his child, God's going to do it. Many of you is probably still scrambling in your mind how you're going to come up with that deductible when your paycheck tells you it's impossible. I've seen families in need and no possible means to meet those needs financially. And I have seen God provide. How does God provide? Look, friends, God's not going to provide for you out of the lottery. Brother Branham says we take care of our own. God's people will help God's people. God can bless someone. Friends, look, God is just, he's so great. It goes beyond our human thinking that God can actually bless this individual so that individual can turn around and bless this individual. God will provide. Get your eyes off the circumstances and just believe. Accept it, as I said, as an opportunity for God to come do something. When they told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you bow, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not stop them from playing the instruments. And they said, when the instruments play, you bow. They couldn't stop them from playing instruments. God didn't even stop them from playing instruments. What would that have been? Just a temporary fix? Many times what we want from God is temporary fixes. But it was an opportunity for God to come down into the fire with them. God didn't want to just bring up a circumstance where they wouldn't be thrown into the fire. He wanted to walk down in the fire with them. Many times we want the circumstance to be removed, and then the circumstance is not removed. And then we get the doubting in our heart. Maybe God wants to go through the circumstance with you. Amen. Let's stand. I said I was going to close after that, but it just keeps flowing. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're asking God for your blessings on your people. Lord, bless them as you bless them with the preaching of the word. May you bless them with the anchoring of it in their hearts and souls. Lord, we've not been trying to intellectually explain faith. But Lord, we're bringing, Lord, the preaching about faith in your word, that it would anchor in the hearts. Because, Lord, we have, as the Bible says, such a cloud of witnesses. You've witnessed to us time and time and time again that your word is true. You've proved it to us over and over in our lives as we were testifying. We've gotten the witnesses of all the things that you've done in everyone's lives over the years here. And the Bible says, Lord, that the good work that you started, that you would finish it. The good work that you start in anyone's life, you will finish that good work. We know that's your word. We believe it and accept it. Irregardless of how Satan may come and attack someone, we know that Satan in the end is going to lose. He is not going to have the upper hand because he didn't start it. He didn't give it to him, and he can't take it away. You started the work, and you're going to finish it. Lord, I pray, go with your people this week and bless them, Lord. Help them through, Lord, the things that they face. And Father, may as they face their trials and their difficulties and situations in this life, may they remember, Lord, what has been preached to them, Father. Lord, let our faith anchor in that your word says it, and we believe it.